job, and our teens do a great job of singing and filling it up. Thank you. Got a little yellow sheet of paper up here that I'll bring up at the very end of the service that teens are interested in, because they want to know which team won while we were at camp. So perhaps I'll remember. If not, then you'll have to come back Wednesday night, teens, and I'll show it to you then. But before we get there, you know, the theme this week was rooted. So I want us first to go to Colossians chapter 2. And also, if you could, grab Psalm chapter 1. Colossians chapter 2 and Psalm chapter 1. And teens, what was the theme again for camp?
Rooted.
One word, six letters. See? It's still been a lack of sleep, but we're going to get through it. Six letters, rooted. Seven. One, two, three, four. No, five. It's six. Miss Jan, don't do that to me. You can probably convince me of just about anything right now. But in Colossians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul's writing, and I want you to get a little bit of background of this church here in Colossae that he's writing to. And so teens, listen up, because we did learn several things at camp, and one of them was we need to make sure that we do what with the Word of God? We need to rightly what? Divide the Word of God. And so in Colossians, this was a church here in this city of Colossae, and they were being inundated. They were being taught many false teachings and different philosophies and different about different gods and religions. Because of the location of the city, being a port city, many people were coming in and out of this city. And so there was all kinds of different cultures in the city of Colossae, which led it to be a possible unstable place for a Christian really to be able to get rooted and grounded in truth. And we see here that the Apostle Paul is writing to this church here in Colossae. And we're going to back up in a few moments, but I want us to look at verse 7 in chapter 2. This is our theme verse for camp. The Apostle Paul, and teens, read it with me. Many of you have already got it memorized. Read it with me. Ready? Rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. You see, the Apostle Paul said that they needed to be rooted and built up in Him. Now, the Him is Jesus Christ. They needed to be rooted and built up in Jesus Christ. Now, I had a 3-sheet message that I was going to cover. And then on Monday night, Brother Paul kind of covered point one for me. And then on Tuesday night, Brother Seth came out and he preached most of my second point. And then my third point really got hammered and shot to pieces when Pastor Dan came out and preached last night. So I've had a whole new sheet that I worked on. And I'm going to use bits and pieces of these other sheets. But I really do want to kind of pull out some things here that were touched on out at camp. I think it's vital to our church as a whole. But then some things that our teenagers, and I know me personally, really need to pay attention to. You see, there are four functions of a root system, with the theme being about being rooted in Christ and the idea of a root and what a root does. There's four functions of a root system. Let me tell you real quick. To absorb nutrients from the soil, to store nutrients for difficult seasons, to anchor the plant and support it, to reproduce vegetation. Now, I want us to think of those four principles, and I want you to look at Psalm chapter 1. Hold your place in Colossians. We're going to come back. But go to Psalm chapter 1. Teens, you know what to do when you're there. Psalm chapter 1. Verse 1, the psalmist writes, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree," what? Planted by the rivers of what? Water. A tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So a man is likened unto a tree planted by a waterside. Now, for a visual, I want you to think for a moment. If you were looking out at the Mojave Desert or the Sahara or something else and you saw a tree out there, think about what it might look like. Chances are, if you think about a tree in the desert, it's going to look something like this here on the PowerPoint. It's kind of sickly. Probably not a whole lot of trees with it. Does it have roots? Probably. It should. It's the way they start. So, but this tree is sick. It needs water. It needs rich soil. It needs nutrients. And you see, as believers, the Bible says that here in Psalm chapter 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Remember, teenagers, getting rid of the friends that you know are not right. Get that shovel out, right, Pastor Dan? Everybody, parents, it might be a good thing tonight on the way home, go by Lowe's or Home Depot, pick up a shovel. Take that shovel, teenagers, and nail it to your wall. And let that be a reminder of you every day that you need to take that shovel, spiritually speaking, and use it to get rid of the junk in your life. But he says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So the man that is like verse 2, that delighteth in the law of the Lord, and in the law doth he meditate day and night, this would be the image of that tree. Look at the next one. A tree planted by a river. Lush, green, fertile. Everything that you would imagine a healthy tree to look like. You see, as believers, when we allow ourselves to be planted in the soil that is going to provide the true source of water. Remember what Jesus told the woman at the well? What kind of water was he bringing? Living water. He brought the living water. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He provides the life to those things that we need to be able to see in our own lives. And so here we see the psalmist writing of this individual that is planted in God's word. He said, his delight is in the law of the Lord. Trees thrive along riverbeds because they are provided the richest soil for tree growth. But when a person chooses in their heart to accept God's offer of total forgiveness from the penalty of the sin that they are due, they deserve, when a person puts their faith and trust in Christ, accepting that, they become planted in the only real source of life-giving water. And when a person is saved, they are able to, let me give you four things that relate to those four functions of the root system. When a person is truly in Christ, they're able to absorb all the fullness or nutrients of Christ. Look at this verse here on the PowerPoint. I want you to see this. Okay, the Bible says here in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 19, he says, for it pleased the Father that in him, being Jesus Christ is the context, should all, what? Fullness dwell. Well, if I'm going to get any of the fullness, where do you think I should be? In Christ. The Bible says that when I am saved and I accept Christ as my Savior, I am in Christ. And so now, being in Christ as a believer, I'm able to absorb all the fullness, all the nutrients of Jesus Christ. He is that rich soil that tree we saw a minute ago was thriving off of. The other tree didn't have that rich soil. Now, it might have been planted and rooted, but you know, it was the thing that trees can't do, which would be kind of spooky if they could. I think in that movie Wizard of Oz, they might have been able to move. I don't remember if they were running after them or not. But if a tree could pick itself up and then come over here and plant itself here, we'd probably see a whole lot more healthier trees. But they can't. But teenagers, adults, singles, you can. When you recognize that your life is drying up because you're allowing yourself to be planted, maybe you're in Christ, but you're allowing yourself to be in the wrong environment. When you know the water's good over there, and that's where the rich soil, that's where you're really going to gain even more nutrients from the fullness of Christ. And you pick yourself up and say, I don't care, I need to be over here because seriously, these trees look a whole lot better. Miss Arlie, you look a whole lot better than that dried up old fake plant over there. You know, we want to be by the streams. Now, not only do you absorb all the fullness of Christ when a person is saved, you were able to store his life-changing word in your heart. You see, one of the functions of a root system, if you remember what I said, it stores nutrients for difficult, what? Seasons. When the nutrients, or at least the weather is harsh and the soil is not able to provide the richest soil for the tree, the roots are able to store it up for that difficult season and be able to survive off of what it isn't getting. And so you know what? There's times in your life when difficulties come, but you know, when we have God's word hidden in our heart, when we've stored ourselves up with God's life-changing word, that when those seasons come of difficulty, we're going to have his word in there to survive off of. You know, it says in the book of Hebrews, it says here in the PowerPoint, chapter 12, for the word of God is quick and what? Powerful. And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints of marrow. And he says, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the what? Heart. I put God's word in my heart and I store it up there. When tough times come, I can survive off of God's word within me. It says this in Psalm 119:11. Teenagers, many of you know this one. Thy word have I hid where? In my heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. When those tough times come and the seasons are dry and the seasons are cold, I've got God's word to survive off of. The root is able to store the nutrients of that life-changing power of Christ. And we need to be rooted in him, letting our roots grow deeper in him. The third thing we said, the purpose of a root system was to anchor the plant and to support it. You know, when a person is saved, they're able to be strengthened with other believers. Now, have you ever seen a tree with one single root? Teenagers, you're smart enough, even the middle schoolers, tell me this. Why wouldn't you see a tree with one root? Somebody give it to me up here in the front row. You're in high school. Tell me, why do you think, Brie, you would not see a tree with one root? It wouldn't get the nutrients and therefore it'd be dead, right? You're not going to see a tree with one root because it needs multiple roots to survive and to be strong and to get what it needs. We need to be together. Now there are, okay, you can throw those arguments. Well, what about a carrot? There's little roots running off of it, finger roots, okay? But I tried to think, when I do teens on Wednesdays, I try to think of all of the arguments they're going to come up with. Because they don't really listen to the message, they just try to see where they can stump you. But when you have one root, it's not as strong as when you have 50, right? When you see a mighty oak tree, you don't see one giant root. You see thousands of roots. And even when obstacles get in the way of those roots can break concrete, they can crack rock, and they'll find whatever they need to get around it to get to the right nutrients. You know, as believers together, we can be strengthened with each other and help each other in the same way. Look what Paul told the Philippians in chapter 1, verse 27 here on the PowerPoint. He said, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent. Paul's saying that I want to hear that your testimony, regardless of if I'm around, teenagers, I want your testimony to be like this, regardless of if you're at camp, if you're at church, or if you know Pastor Rob's on your school campus, whatever it is. He says this, I may hear of your affairs and that ye stand fast, what? In one spirit with what? One mind striving how? Together for the faith of the gospel. Together. We're able to be strengthened with other believers. Sure, Christ's strength is all that we need, but you know what? He's given the body of Christ for a purpose. Every member, different. Brother Clint talked about that this morning in serving and how we all have different functions and abilities, and we need to accept that and be excited about that and strengthen the body of Christ together, knowing what our individual abilities are and gifts are. But not only do we see the absorption of the fullness, the storing of the changing word of in the heart, the life-changing power of God's word, the strength of being with other believers, but when a person's saved, they're also able to reproduce the character of Christ. You see, one of the functions of the root system is to reproduce vegetation. The Bible says here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, on the PowerPoint, what? But the fruit of the Spirit, and here, is the very manifested character of Christ. love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Teenagers, you should be memorizing these with me because you know we went over 9 weeks it took to get through all these. But what does he say? Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And you know what? Because of those things, there's no need for the law. When those are a part of your life, there's no need for the law. Why did Christ never sin? Because that was his character. Why is the law perfect? Because it's that kind of person that is able to live a life that naturally fills the law. You know what? Remember what Jesus said, and Paul later even commented on? Remember how the whole law could be summed up in one thing he said, to love thy neighbor as thyself. And if we're able to have that love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith, then you know what? Christ is being manifested in your life. And when we're rooted as a believer in Christ, then the very fruit of Christ is seen in your lives. It's his character. So there's four functions of a root system. And those four functions of that root system are very similar to what we see with Christ in our lives today. And as believers, we must seek to maintain a strong, healthy root system. But real quickly, I'm going to give you four things. How do we do that? Go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. How do we support, how do we strengthen a good, healthy root system? How do we develop a healthy root system? Number one, healthy roots seek to grow deeper in love. The day of your salvation was most likely the day you realized that the unimaginable love of God was displayed on the cross for your sins. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God's love was manifested. And I grow deeper in that love. A healthy root system is designed to grow deeper and deeper in the knowledge of Christ. If you're in Colossians, flip. I know I told you to go there, but I should have told you to go to Ephesians real quick before you go back to Colossians. Hit Ephesians on the way. Go back to Ephesians. Chapter 3. You're there, say amen. All right, look what he says here in Ephesians 3, verse 16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened. Remember, that was one of the things we see with the root system is strength, support, stability. Strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that ye being what? Rooted and grounded in what? Love. May be able to, I love this part, to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Healthy roots are going to seek to grow deeper in that love, that knowledge. When Paul said to know the love of Christ that passeth knowledge, meaning that, look, teenagers, there's not going to come a day where you say, okay, finally got all of Christ's love figured out in my life. I know just how much he loved me. You'll never know how much he loved you. And you should desire every day to grow deeper and know his love even more. Everything he paid on that cross, every sin of yours that he paid, every sin of mine, every sin of the world, he paid for everything on that cross for us. Why? Out of love. God commendeth his love toward us. We grow in that love for others. Healthy roots seek to grow deeper in love. It's in the knowledge of Christ's love, but also in the love for others. You know, Paul talked about it with the Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians, for sake of time, I'll flip over there real quick. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 8. The Apostle Paul is telling the church here in Thessalonica, he said, he therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you. For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Growing in that love. Growing deeper in the love of Christ and growing deeper in a love for others. You see, it's critical that we grow in love. Now back over to Colossians chapter 2. We're rooted and grounded in Christ. He said to the Ephesians, we're to be rooted and grounded in love. And that love of Christ, the knowledge of love. But then we're also to have a healthy root system. that seeks to grow deeper in truth. Deeper in truth. The Colossians were being confronted with some serious challenges. They had many things that were being taught in their culture that was false. Now, Paul, from what we see from Colossians chapter 2, verse 1, wasn't physically in Colossae at any point, but the truth had gotten there. The truth had gotten into that city, and they had started a church with a group of believers that had put their faith and trust in what Christ did. But that didn't mean that all of the false teaching was all of a sudden gone. It's not like they said, well, Christianity's here. They might as well pack our bags and go to the next city, see if we can confuse them and lie to them. No. The only thing Satan did was said, hey, well, we'll get them even harder now. We'll bring in some more. We'll bring in more religions, more options, more lies. You know, it's been said that truth unites and error divides. Truth unites, error divides. Error is created from a lack of what? Anybody know? Knowledge. Error is created from a lack of knowledge. And Paul knew what was going on in this area of Colossae. And it's interesting because this area of Colossae was real close to another church in Laodicea. And unfortunately, Laodicea is seen as having given into lies and false teaching and not heeding Paul's warning. In Revelation chapter 3, it talks about this is the church that was known as being lukewarm. They didn't have a fervency for the Lord. Maybe it was because they were kind of wavering. Well, I know that I believe this, but man, I heard this. I wonder. And doubt began to cause error and problems. You know anybody in your life that knew the Lord but went off and made wrong decisions because maybe somebody came and knocked on their door and gave them a packet of literature that was full of lies and they began to wonder? And they struggled? Paul knew the importance of knowing the truth. He knew that they needed to have that full understanding and assurance of what was right. Paul said in Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. And it says, it is Christ where? In you, the hope of glory. The only source of truth in the world is the Bible. And it's of God, and that makes it of truth. Teenagers, one of the things I know that we talked about at camp and that we talked about in our cabin devotions with the boys is this. A true desire for truth is revealed by the amount of time you spend in the truth. You can say you love God. You can say you love the Bible. You can say that you love Jesus, like Pastor Dan talked about last night. But if it doesn't show up in the time that you spend in the Bible, I don't know that we can say it. Because we don't have a problem spending an hour and a half, 2-3 hours on the Xbox, on the internet, on our iPhone, or you know, whatever it might be, talking and texting and Facebooking and all these different things. And we say, but we love God. But don't you think if we do, it should show up in how much we get into the truth? Because we don't want to be fed lies. Can you be fed lies in Facebook? I didn't hear any yeses. There we go. All right. Yes, you can be fed lies on Facebook. Can you be fed lies on the 6 o'clock news? Can you be fed lies on the telephone when somebody picks up and says, you'll never believe this? Yes. Where's the one place you'll never find a lie? God's Word. If you want to get rooted in truth, there's only one place to guarantee you're rooting yourself in truth, and it's in His Word. And if you love God, and if you truly want to be in Christ, rooted and grounded and settled and learning and growing in that truth, it has to take place in how much time you spend in the Bible. I told one of the teens while we were out there, talking about things. Okay, you come back from camp, you're excited. How many of you adults have ever been to a youth camp yourself as a teenager? Okay. More than likely, you went to that camp, you made emotional decisions, or you made truly spiritual decisions. You got home, you were on fire, you were excited. 2-3 weeks later, a month later, things are kind of starting to digress back to where you were, right? And so we talk about, well, how can we prevent these things? And so we were talking about it in our cabin devotions, and one of the teens said, well, I'm going to set my alarm clock, I'm going to set my reminder on my telephone to remind me that, oh, I need to read the Bible today. I said, wait, stop. If you have to have your phone to remind you to read the Bible, there's something deeper that's a problem. I'm serious. You know what? And I told the boys in the cabin, I said, there is not a day that goes by in my life since June 3rd of 2000 that I didn't have to remember, oh, I got to go tell Colleen I love her. I've never had to remember. Let me go get my phone and have it remind me to tell her. Let me send myself a Google Calendar reminder, you know, so it'll pop up in my email. Call Colleen, tell you love her. Oh, that's right, I forgot. No. I've never had to forget to go and tuck my kids in and tell them goodnight and pray with them. Why? Because it means something to me. And if God's word means something to me, I don't need a reminder to tell me to get into it. Teenagers, if you need something to remind you, and I'm okay with accountability, I understand that. But if you're relying on somebody else to remind you to get in God's word, there's a deeper problem. Where is the desire? Real fast, last two things. Not only do we seek for a deeper understanding or to grow in the truth, to grow in the love, but we need to grow in the faith. Look at Colossians 2, again, verse 7. He said, rooted and built up in him, and what? Established in the what? Faith. Established in the faith. The believer is to be rooted in Christ and established in the faith. And that word established means to be settled. And when you're building a house, it's necessary, especially in Florida. If anybody wanted to go over here next door and build a house, I would suggest getting rid of all that sugar sand and establishing a good, strong foundation. Because it's necessary in Florida to allow the ground to do what? To settle. Why? Because without settled ground, the house can become unstable. And what we see, we need to grow deeper in your faith, means not that I need to get more faith until I finally, you know, am saved and I hope I can hang on to that faith and not lose it and lose my salvation. That's not what we're talking about. What I'm talking about is I can grow deeper in my faith by means of growing deeper in my reliance on Christ for everything in my life. Depending on Christ, because he is all-sufficient and all-powerful. In Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul talks about in verse 31, he's telling the church here, I'll read it real quickly for you, about that reliance on Christ. In Romans 8, 31, he says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, who shall he not? Or say, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yet rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Your faith grows deeper as you trust Christ in your life to live unto him and to see the work that he does along the way. To sit back and look, God, you've done an amazing thing in my life. That wasn't me. I could have never done that. It was you. You know, my life is void of growing faith for so many years. There was a long period because I failed to give Christ control growing in my faith. I knew the Lord, but many years I laid stagnant, not growing. And then finally, the last thing that we see in Colossians chapter 2, go back over there, I wanted to show you this. Healthy roots seek to grow deeper together. We talked about earlier that root systems need to be together, but you know what? We need to seek together to grow deeper. Great thing I saw last night after the service, all the students from Spruce Creek gathered up at the front of the platform and said, hey, let's get together one day a week at the flagpole, pray for each other before school. It wasn't so that they could go out and everybody can say, hey, look, there's Christians. Oh, they're from Crossroads. They're praying. Wow, that's cool. No, they recognize that we're going to go in there and there's going to be a lot of false teaching. There's going to be a lot of temptations. There's going to be a lot of things that are going to come against us. We need to seek to grow stronger together. Not individually, but together. Paul says here, look at verse 2 in Colossians 2. That their hearts might be comforted. And then say the next phrase with me. Being knit together in love. Not just what Paul said earlier, grounded and rooted in love, but us being knit together in love. Meaning that, you know what, I don't care what you've done against me, what you've said about me. If you're a brother or sister in Christ and I am, I'm loving you like Christ regardless. And look, we can put these things behind us, we can get things right, and we can continue to grow together in Christ in love. That's going to strengthen the church, the body of Christ, and glorify the head, Jesus Christ. That's all that matters. I'm sorry, that's all that should matter. But a lot of times we don't let that be our focus. Teenagers are just as guilty. Paul talked about it to the Ephesians in Ephesians 4. For sake of time, we don't have to go. We got a couple of minutes. Go back there. Last place, Ephesians chapter 4. Flip back. These two books are a great cross-reference to each other. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, he says, and he gave some, talking about the gifts, talking about Jesus Christ is the he gave some apostles and prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. For the what purpose? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of what? The faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We see all these again, that we're to do it how? Together. Seeking to grow together. Seeking to grow in our understanding in Christ and in His love and our faith and His truth, and doing it all together. Teenagers, as we come back from camp, I challenge you, it's about staying rooted together. Look, I know that there were some new friendships. Sadly enough, in church, it's this way. In the church, too many times. You've got your, you know, left pew sitters and you got your right pew sitters, and very rarely do you see a right pew sitter come all the way over here to say, hey, and sit and talk with the left pew sitter. And we're laughing, but it's true, right? We go to shake hands, it's whoever's right here around me. A little too far back there, Brother Paul. I'll just give you, it's good to see you. And, you know, and then move on. No. You know, we get comfortable. And we begin to forget that, hey, the unity of the body is beginning to suffer a little bit. Man, we need to seek to grow together. We need to seek to not allow an aisleway to divide a congregation, a youth group. Seek to not let a little bit of gossip divide a friendship. If you know you're both saved, get it right and say, psh, Christ is far more important than this. And let it be rooted and grounded in Him. Let's pray.